We want every hostage to be back home alive now. If it means that you have to do ceasefire, we do it.
Tens of thousands of protesters flooded Israel's streets this weekend. That's where we're starting The 7 from The Washington Post. I'm Christina Quinn. It's Monday, April 1st. Let's get you caught up with today's 7 stories. On Sunday, the protesters moved from Hostage Square Plaza in Tel Aviv to the parliament in Jerusalem, waving Israeli flags and chanting for the removal of the country's longest-serving leader. The protesters are calling for immediate elections. They also want the government to urgently negotiate the release of more than 100 hostages still held by Hamas after its attack on Israel on October 7th. The twin demands represented a merging of two distinct protest movements, one including the families of the hostages, the other led by civil society and the political opposition in Israel. This could be the greatest threat yet to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his far-right government, which has been under growing pressure over Israel's brutal military campaign in Gaza. Number 2, the effort to remove Baltimore's collapsed bridge is underway. Yesterday, demolition crews cut parts of the north side of the Key Bridge, which collapsed last week after it was hit by a cargo ship. The removal process is going to be long and complex, but officials hope to eventually open a channel to allow some vessels to get around the wreckage and the stranded ship. The 21-person crew of the Dali is still stuck on board. Officials say they will probably have to stay there until the boat is either moved or taken out of the water. The crew, which is mostly from India, will then need shore passes from Customs and Border Protection if they leave the boat and come ashore into the U.S. At number 3, Donald Trump attacked President Biden for acknowledging International Transgender Day of Visibility. Since 2009, International Transgender Day of Visibility has been held on March 31st, and the Biden administration has marked the day every year since Biden was elected. But this year, it happened to coincide with Easter Sunday. So Biden's acknowledgement of the day was cast by Trump and his Republican allies as an attack on Easter. Trump campaign spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt went as far as to describe Biden's actions as blasphemous. This was part of a flurry of Trump attacks on his presidential election rival this weekend. On Friday, Trump shared an image on social media of Biden with his hands and feet tied. It was just the latest example of the increasingly violent rhetoric of Trump's campaign. A major storm is sweeping the country. That's number 4. Over the weekend, an atmospheric river brought extreme rainfall, thunderstorms, and mountain snow to California. Part of Highway 1 collapsed and tumbled into the ocean near Big Sur, leaving travelers stranded. The storm is now charging eastward, and few areas will be spared. Today and tomorrow, it will sweep through central and eastern states, bringing the threat of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes. Some areas, especially from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic, could also see flooding rain. The storm's last stop will be in New England midweek, which could see an unusually intense late-season snowstorm. At number 5, data from 73 million AT&T accounts appears to have been leaked. AT&T disclosed this breach over the weekend. It said that data, including social security numbers and email addresses, was leaked onto the dark web, which can be used for illegal activity by anonymous criminals. Over 7 million current AT&T account holders and about 65 million former account holders were affected. If you're one of them, keep an eye out for unusual activity on your account. AT&T said it was notifying customers whose data was leaked and would pay for credit monitoring when applicable. The company also reset the passcodes of the current customers whose data was stolen.
And it's over. This is what dreams are made of. An unlikely run to the Final Four for NC State.
The men's NCAA basketball Final Four is set. That's number 6. What you just heard was North Carolina State knocking off Duke yesterday for its 9th consecutive win. Along with NC State, the other teams that made it through were Connecticut, Purdue, and Alabama. The final four games will take place Saturday in Arizona, and a champion will be crowned a week from tonight. In the women's bracket, South Carolina and NC State have clinched final four spots. But tonight, all eyes are on Albany for a national title game rematch with a final four spot on the line. Coach Kim Mulkey and LSU are the defending champs, and they're taking on superstar Caitlin Clark and Iowa. You can watch all the action at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And at number 7, Harvard removed human skin from the binding of a 19th century book. In the 1880s, a book by the French novelist and poet Arsène Houssaye was gifted to a doctor called Ludovic Bouland. He bound the book in human skin he acquired while he was a medical student. Bouland explained his strange decision in a note, writing that, quote, "a book about the human soul deserved to have a human covering." The skin was taken from the back of a woman, a psychiatric patient in a French hospital who died of a stroke in the 1800s. That skin is now, quote, "in respectful temporary storage until the library decides how to dispose of it in a dignified manner." Last week, Harvard said it made the decision due to what it called the ethically fraught nature of the book's origins and subsequent history. Researchers will still be able to take out the book, just without any skin attached. That's the show for today. But before you go, you should check out this special Sunday edition of Post Reports, which dives into Beyoncé's country music moment. Our very own Taylor White helped produce the episode. Look for Post Reports wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Christina Quinn. The homie Hannah Jewell will be back in the host chair tomorrow, so she and the rest of the crew will see you then.